WHUS
Stores. Welcome, everybody. Travis gave me the nod, so I'm going to introduce myself. My name is Terrence Abney. I am one of the hosts of Connecticut Show.
And this is Travis Poppleton, the other host of the Connecticut Show. This is a great intro. Something new.
Discuss new things in New England.
Right. Perfect.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So new intro while we talk about new things in New England.
Yes. The most consistent thing we say is our name, I feel like.
I think so, too.
Sometimes we switch that up. Sometimes I say I'm Travis and everything. Every now and then you'll say you're Terrence.
And unless you've listened to all episodes, you don't know if that's true or not.
Yes. Go back and check it out. We didn't do that one time. Was I dreaming that?
I do think you dreamed that or I dreamed that we didn't do it.
Oh,
one of those things.
Yeah, it was all a dream. You know, I used to read Road Up magazine.
Thank you, Bon Bon Vivant, for leading us in.
Indeed.
And eventually for leading us out on this short episode. This is a shorter episode of the Connecticut Show. It has been 2 weeks since we've had a conversation. Terrence has got a hard stop here on the hour. You don't actually know what the hour means because you don't know when we started, but let's just say we definitely know this is going to be a short show.
You won't be done gardening.
No,
by the time this show is done.
You'll be to the carrot aisle or whatever. I don't know.
By the way, if you're ever done gardening and you start this show and you finish, you probably didn't garden for a very long time. Like we very seldom go for 3 hours.
Is that how long you think you should garden for, 3 hours? I just say that intro.
Because you always say, hey, if you're listening to this while you're gardening, and I always say when you say that, why is somebody listening to the podcast while they're gardening?
All right, so here's why I say that. So there was a time in my life when we had a front yard that was that required a lot of like weeding and I don't know, maintenance, we'll say. And so every Sunday at about this time, I would go out to do that gardening and I would listen to NPR. Aww. And so like in my mind, other people in the world do that too. And that's just like my go-to. So like I remember probably the most radio consumption of my life was on Sundays around this hour because I would be out gardening and I would just listen to NPR during that time.
That is very fair. Very, 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 very fair.
Yeah. With all that said, what is your radio consumption? Like, when do you listen to podcasts? When do you turn on the radio?
When I record it.
This is the only show. This is just exclusively us. We have no influences. No one has influenced this show.
I'm not like you and the other people who go listen to other shows and Moonlight and cheat on the podcast. I remain faithful, my friend.
Younger times, Terrence. I was so young. I was so young when I did that.
How old were you, 12?
No, I was in my 20s. That's in the rearview mirror now. So, but yeah, like, so when I think of listening to the radio, obviously they're the car rides home. But that doesn't happen on a Sunday, right? We're not a commuting show. We're a weekend show. So why are you turning on the radio on the weekend? You're either just sitting there enjoying some tea by the lake or you're, because you like to
we
me
clearly stay in a different neighborhood. I thought we were neighbors.
There is a lake on the corner of our street, like a little pond area. You know, we live in the same neighborhood. You have a river going through your backyard. We live in the same neighborhood. So if you are sitting on your deck, Terrence, looking at that little river while listening to the radio, that makes sense to me. Does that not make sense to you?
First, I have a stream, river maybe.
It is second, a fat, wide river.
I still do not know the lake you're referring to.
Do you have crawfish in your river?
We do have some crawfish, but it is not a river.
Okay.
To be clear.
Call it what you want.
Those are mud. Those are like mud crawfish.
When you get to the end of our street.
End of the street.
And you make a right onto, no idea, and I don't even want to name the street because all the people that would
Travis,
come to our house.
Please tell me you're not talking
picture.
About that pond.
There is this beautiful.
There's a pond.
There's a scenic.
There's a pond.
Lake.
It is not close enough for us to sit on the deck.
I didn't say
lake.
We should. I was just like giving some idyllic situation where you would be listening to this. So listen, I don't know. I don't know.
Travis
the
is trying to
listeners.
Paint a very bucolic scene right now.
Absolutely doing that because, like, why not idealize, right? If we're gonna say, where are you right now? We should idealize where our listeners are.
Yeah, it'll be buffiferous.
Yeah,
right? Say one of your words, Travis. Go ahead.
All right, Terrence. I need to know, on the weekends, when do you listen to podcast and or radio shows?
I don't listen to podcast or radio on the weekend.
Fair enough. So, like my kids can listen to a talk thing or music while they're writing. And I'm not talking like music, like instrumental background music. There's not like just some wordless melody floating behind them. They're listening to and practically singing along to music while writing, doing writing assignments. You know, I don't know if this is a generational thing or what. I don't have the double attention span like that. I can't compartmentalize and do two things at once like that. Can you?
No, probably not.
Yeah. So when I listen to the radio, it has to be with intent. I can garden while listening to someone talking, but I can't do anything like homework. Like all the studies you and I both have, I can't touch that while someone's talking in my ear.
That's fair. Yeah. I don't think I can. If I do have it on, I do listen to the, like some like my Apple Music or whatever at work sometimes, but that's different. Like, you know, I'm not trying to focus at work.
But like, you know, there's some work you could do. Like I could fill in numbers or like be doing something design wise, like doing a brochure. But as soon as I have to like write a paragraph, as soon as I have to like think of my own dialogue, if anyone else is talking, it's a stance. You know, I either cannot, even if I try to not focus on them, it's still a total pause. I can't write while someone's talking.
So you're like, turn it off.
I just never turn it
on. Get out of here. Oh yeah, you by yourself. I forget.
I'm alone. Thanks for bringing that up, Terrence. That's what friends are for. That's what we're good for.
It's splendiferous.
Terrence doesn't listen to the radio on the weekends. So I guess this is a good time to bring up info@connecticut.show. Where are you when you listen to the show? If you're listening to the show live, if you catch us on the radio, what are you doing when you listen to the show? And then obviously for you podcast listeners, I'd love to know where you are. And I know that some of you have chimed in. And actually from the people who have responded like accidentally, because they didn't know we were going to ask this question, every one of them that I know of, said specifically they're driving to work or they're driving home from something. So they just like to have the conversation going. So let me float that back to you. When do you listen to any podcast? Because I know you listen to podcasts. I get the wink, wink.
I'm not from here. I'm a Martian. I don't listen to podcasts.
You do because you've mentioned a few. I think you've mentioned a few on the show. You've had me listen to some on the way here. I know there are a few shows you like.
I've stopped since then.
Fair enough. Back then, if you could think back a week ago, where were you when you would listen to these?
Now, usually I might listen to one in the morning, right, as I'm preparing something for the kids to eat. Like, so as I'm doing breakfast and things for like the younger ones, I might turn it on then, turn on the podcast. And I may catch up half of what they say between the kids coming up and saying, hey, is this ready yet? And all that jazz. But so usually I'm probably standing up doing something in the house and I'll have it on.
Do you listen to talk when you're running, when you're out on a long run?
No.
Is it music?
Probably. Well, yeah, every time. If I listen to something, it's usually music.
Yeah. Do you go without music, without any sound at all? Like, do you go?
Yeah, sometimes.
Is that meditative to you? Like, what happens when you're on mile 6? Like, what are you thinking about?
I don't know. Probably at that point right now, just finishing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. If you're running, you know, you're staying focused in our neighborhood. You're trying not to get hit.
There's some truth to that.
That's a lot of truth to that. Not some. It is fully true. With no sidewalks and tight curves, you got to be on your P's and Q's. So, Travis is giving that look. He, again, that's one of his pet peeves also. California has big sidewalks everywhere.
No, I was just thinking I've been driving around quite a bit lately, and I think there was just some place in Connecticut where I noticed sidewalks, and my first thought was like, you posh rich, you know, how dare you have these basic necessities in your neighborhood? That's what Connecticut has done to me. Everywhere else, I would have never in my life thought two things about it. But here it was like, oh, look at you with your fancy sidewalks, living the dream.
But that goes against what you say, because I feel like the no sidewalks makes it more like, we don't want y'all here. We don't want people just walking through our nice neighborhoods. Keep them out. But you're saying the flip on this, it's not a keep out. It's like, we can afford these sidewalks, so we're going to flaunt it and put sidewalks everywhere. And then we're not going to let you walk on that sidewalk to our beach.
So the sidewalks are different. And actually, I would love to hear your philosophy. Why do you think they don't put sidewalks in here? Like, where does that start? Because if you are in a different state, and goodness knows, I can't compare a state by state, but I do know that there are some states that if they're going to create a neighborhood, they do curb and gutter, street for, you know, whatever, and then the houses are going to be here. And clearly none of that planning has happened for us. Do you think that was, because we are not a new neighborhood. I mean, we're not an old neighborhood. It's one thing if we're one of those 1776 neighborhoods, you know, and they're like, yeah, this is just what we did because this is how we lived back then. And Mort's house was there and mine was here. So we did a windy road, right? Like, I get that. I still don't get why you haven't upgraded.
I don't get why they make a windy road just to go to Mort's house.
Because Mort, he made his house and then he built his farm, right? And then Sally, she comes in and she's like, oh, I like where your house is. I'm going to build one right over here. And there's really no rhyme or reason to it. I'm saying no planning at all. And so they're like, well, I need a road to go between your houses. And so now it's all curvy.
Right.
I get that. I still think in the last 100, 200, you know, however many hundred years, someone should have said, you know what we could do? Because, you know, we're educated people now. You know what we could do? But that never happened. But what I'm saying is this neighborhood that we live in is not an old neighborhood
per se.
They knew about sidewalks when they put our neighborhood together, right?
Probably.
So someone intentionally said, we're not doing this. And you're coming back to, occasionally I get upset about elitist neighborhoods. I don't feel like this was an elitist move. Left to my own devices with no education and just like guessing, like just left to my own bias, I would think it was irresponsible. You know, like just,
sheesh.
Like we just don't know enough to know. It seems more like a
I was
going to
say country. I think it's a country move. Country bumpkin-ish. No offense to people who love the neighborhood and love not having sidewalks, but I think it's more of that, just a rural area. Then think about it. We got some fields, we got some yards. Let's just put the road here and the cars can get through. And they just weren't thinking about it being a walking neighborhood. That's my take.
To me, that's just a neighborhood. Everyone walks in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
I have to go to Terrence's house to get a cup of sugar. I'd like a sidewalk where I'm not going to die on my way to do that.
But I think that's the thing. Some of these places are built off the road. Like our neighborhood is kind of off the road. So you don't have to necessarily worry about the traffic like it is on the main road flying by. So, because the immediate neighborhood is fairly safe to walk at. Now, for the main roads, when you get there and the here and why, yeah, country bumpkin-ish. That's, again, I could be wrong.
You think it was intentional? Yes, I'm not totally getting it. You think because there was kind of a country philosophy?
I think it's
just
a rural area that they didn't think about doing sidewalks.
Okay, so I don't think it was intentional.
Right. Could have been intentional, but I just think they were like, let's get this road down, let's get it popping.
Here's my next question.
Because it was a lot of farmland too. So I think that's what it started off as.
I've been complaining about sidewalks since like episode one. We're still talking about it. Is this getting old yet? info@connecticut.show.
We should get a sidewalk expert on the show.
We should. And actually, I feel
do
like,
y'all know any sidewalk experts, please?
I feel like Chapel was probably our closest, right, to really getting the history of the development and infrastructure of Connecticut.
Right.
We should ask him next time we see him.
But, you know, staying in a college area, maybe they were like, we don't want a sidewalk because then we have too many college students walking.
No, because there
walking
is
around here then.
There is a sidewalk on the university side of stores. Right. They put a sidewalk on the school side.
That's what
side.
I'm saying. I think I just figured it out.
Go on.
They just want all these college students walking everywhere. Why would they want thousands of college students just enjoying the neighborhood, walking down and walking through the neighborhoods on sidewalks, doing bar crawls. They'll start a bar crawl from the school and crawl the whatever miles through neighborhoods on the sidewalk because they're trying to be safe while they're drinking. Yeah, that is it. That's my story. I'm sticking with it.
As a deterrent for students coming into our neighborhoods, we provided no way
no
for them.
No sidewalks.
So that backfired because what happens instead is students just belligerently walk down. So like when people in our neighborhood walk, this is such a, oh goodness, this is like, what are we even talking about? But it doesn't matter. When people in our neighborhood walk down the street, they're cognizant of the fact that they also drive these roads. And so they try to walk in a respectful way. You could tell the people who walk our streets because they're aware that their life is in danger and they have had to do the same common courtesy by dodging people slowly. Right. But then students, when they're in our neighborhood, like I think I've told this story before, like when the cross country team runs through, it's like cattle. Like they take over the entire street.
They just fouled across in a single order.
No.
It's like Red Rover, Red Rover.
No,
it's
like swans. You know how, or, you know, geese, how they do the V? They take both sides of the street.
Well, that's what I meant. Well, you're saying they do a V. I said, the straight line. They got a line across the street. But either way, they take up both lanes.
I thought you meant single file on one side.
Oh, no. Nah, like they are like here to here. If y'all can't see me, y'all know why I do this all the time. But just imagine going down the street and you got a line of people, you know, like almost locking their arms. And if you ever played the game Red Rover, it's like they're challenging your car to see if it'll hurt them or your car. I've never tried it before, just to be clear. But it is funny how that goes. It's like, we run this road. And it's like, yeah, you run this road, but these cars will hurt.
But there's not attitude, right? Like when you drive by them, it's not like they are like...
Oh, they wave. Hey.
I don't even feel like they wave. They just feel like they're in their own world. So like,
I know what they say to you. They be like, they say, when you wave and they say, our coach is right over here.
Yeah. We're not
strange,
alone.
Man.
Yeah. It's a wall of unawareness. Is that a word? It's not like they're even aware as you drive by. It's not like they're like, oh, a car. It's just, they're still in their own little world. That, I think, applies to the students that just walk down, you know, the ones by Horse Barn, and then they like curl back instead of going toward the university. They also just take a lane. It'll be like two friends walking and talking, and your car stops and waits for another car to go by so you can go around. And they don't even like, they don't break their conversation.
Yeah. Are crosswalks the same all across the world too? And on campuses? Because students walk really reckless in crosswalks here. I think, again, it's like they come out from the side in front of your car. They come at an angle so you can't see them. So if I was going to accelerate, it's like they would say I was in the crosswalk. And I was like, yeah, after you made that V line in front of my car, that's why I clipped you. Or they do the really slow walk, like you go in and they're like, well, I'm in a crosswalk, so you can't do anything. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean go across at like 2 miles per hour so everybody can see you. Speed up. Yeah. Do a wave.
Something.
Yeah. Or people who just go through the crosswalk at a light, because when you're at the light, you're supposed to wait. You should wait. But some people just go even when it's green and you're like, yo, you're not supposed to do that. And then they'll still go and be slow and then look at you like, what are you doing? And is that a crosswalk or is that a Connecticut or New England crosswalk thing?
I'm sympathetic toward that because I've never seen the four-way stop crosswalk here. So like, and I know we've talked about this, but you know, if you're listening for the first time here in, I don't know if it's all of Connecticut, it's definitely in this area. Left traffic, you know, horizontal traffic goes one way, vertical traffic goes one way, and then the entire intersection goes red and all cars stop while students, people walk by. And they can walk diagonal if they want, like they can do, they could sit in the middle and have a really like 30 second picnic and no one's going to bother them because no cars are allowed to go during that. But I've never seen that before. So growing up, I'm talking even in Australia, you go when it's green. And this is how it is in New York too, right? Like if it's a green light, you walk with traffic. So it's not surprising to me that new students, people who are new to like UConn, when they see the green, they think they're allowed to go. I'm sympathetic. It's still annoying because that still means I have to stop again. And I just stopped like a half hour for
but
you.
But why would you think you see green? But the, what if the green light is facing the other way and you still walk out?
Oh,
that's
that,
what I see.
Yeah, no, they're just terrible people. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought me and Travis were going to have our first disagreement because I was gonna say that sounds ridiculous, Travis.
No, those were the parents that told you you are the center of the universe and you believed it and no one told you otherwise. You just go.
They can't hit you. It's a barrier in this crosswalk. Right. Don't worry about it.
There's magic.
So for people listening, crosswalks do not have magic barriers.
No.
If you step out in front of a car, it may hurt.
I'm not saying there's no magic in this world. I am saying it does not exist at crosswalks.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So
it's very pundiferous.
It is. That's true. Now that I think about it, thank you. That is a very pundiferous observation.
I mean, it's glucoricachy. You could get away with it, but in a bucolic sense, you can't.
My God. Exactly. Right. Fine point.
Thank you.
All right. So we have a short episode. We've taken at least half of it talking about sidewalks, which I know is everyone's favorite topic.
We'll talk about the bet Travis lost. Did you say, was that you?
I don't know. I can't wait to hear about the bet I lost.
About the championship. So y'all don't know, UConn, shout out to both teams. Both made the Final Four. Of course, UConn's men won.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we were wondering, are they going to tear up campus again or not? It wasn't a bet, but we had the conversation.
I just feel like because people got expelled last time, didn't they?
Yeah.
It just feels like they would have learned. It's only been a year, you know?
So right? What are you thinking? What are you thinking?
So I was thinking, no, I think the students learned their lesson. The same ones that walk against the green, those same students learned their lesson and campus was just fine.
So you're thinking campus was just fine.
I know campus wasn't just fine, but I would have definitely said that before we won the championship.
Did you see that? I obviously didn't send you the video, so.
You did not send me the video.
But it was not fine, Travis.
No.
It wasn't as bad as last year. Last year, at one point, the first night, they said we had, like, what, 15 arrests. They went up to 30, and then so many injuries. So didn't hear about any injuries. We had a few arrests, but, again, some stuff did. They knocked the window out of the rec center with a sign again. I don't know what the drive is behind you, and maybe this is a New England thing. Again, maybe y'all can help us to this culture here. You win a championship. Is it a rule you have to pull up the stop signs or traffic signs on the campus or place you win the championship at? And is it a rule that somebody has to ram the pole through a window, a pole or a sign through a window and break it?
Yeah, no, I think that's normal. I think that's standard.
Okay. New England, do they do that thing? What about Southern Cal? So when Southern Cal won, were you out there ramming stuff through the windows and being like, you know, this is necessary?
This is necessary. Yeah, no, I think it's a fan thing you sign before you go to games. I think it's on your tickets.
I think so. But not as bad as last year, but definitely happened. Definitely happened. It was, it's just weird to see. Because it's a happy moment, and that's how you know alcohol is a heck of a drug. And,
yeah,
and everybody so you mentioned this. You mentioned the expulsions and things that happened last year. That was sad. They were sending out messages saying, "Hey, celebrate responsibly. This happened last year. We will be looking. They pulled up all the light poles, like from the near vicinity of the basketball arena. But students still found some light poles to get elsewhere. They had big flood lights out to provide light. But the thing that gets me every time is how we forget. Hey, so they have the students or whoever it is. These could have been a bunch of people who just really love UConn, and they're just ramming the pole in there. I wish we could show the clip, but we're not on YouTube or anything like that, so we can't show you. So y'all have to go with me on this. They're ramming the pole through there. They finally break it. They're like, yeah. And there are hundreds of people around there with little lights in their hand recording what's happening. And the only thing I kept thinking was like, well, you're arrested. You're arrested. You're out of here. You're out of here. And then they had another, as the newscaster was talking about it, they had another person with a stop. They said, the newscaster does their little professional thing. Yes, and they also took up traffic signs, and like this one, and they showed one on the ground, and the next clip was a person with their shirt off with a stop sign in their hand saying, yeah, clang, throw the stop sign down. Just, you know, they look, you know what, they had a booger in their nose. That's how I saw their face so clearly. I was like, well, you are out of here.
Right.
It's one of those very hard to say, like, that's AI. No, buddy, that's you. That's you. We got you on 7 different cameras doing that. So again, that mob mentality is just incredible to me. And, you know, but again, not nearly as bad as last year. So I do want to give the majority of the campus some good vibes. We did have some other tough things happen. But beyond that, hey, they won back to back. You know, like Drake, congrats to the men's basketball team at University of Connecticut. And, you know, good luck. We'll see what happens next year. I hope you win it again next year.
I just like to the ones that you're talking about that they get into trouble and they know they're being recorded. What is the block? Like, what is it? Alcohol. I've seen many, many drunk people and there's still lines, right? There's still things that they won't cross. So what is it? Really, is it the same? Is it sincerely the same mentality that tells you you can walk against a green? Like, just nothing is ever going to get to me? Because that's just flagrantly, it's not even rolling the dice. Like, at that point, you know, like you said, that guy's gone. That person's gone.
You're out of here, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know, Terrence. That's a tough one for me. But yes, it happened. Happened again.
Yeah, and I hate to see it because it is somewhat of a, it's a lot of prep for what should be a joyous time in this, and the teams being so good, the women and men. You know, as they call us, it's funny here, Storrs. So if y'all don't know this, Storrs is the basketball capital of the world, not just the U.S., but the world.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think basketball is very big outside of the U.S., so it's not like we're hitting home runs here. Terrible metaphor for a basketball conversation, but you know, we're not sinking free throws.
You don't think UConn is that big in the world or basketball?
No, like having lived abroad, basketball does not have the same allure. There's, you know, other countries have their other sports. So I'm just saying,
we're gonna have to agree to disagree on that one.
What country do you think takes basketball as seriously as the U.S.?
As seriously as the U.S.?
Yeah.
Canada. Even though this sport is hockey. Canada just beat the U.S. for the bronze medal in the World Championships, actually.
Tell me one Canadian player that you know.
Shai Alexander-Gilchrist plays for Oklahoma City Thunder.
No, I mean in Canada. Like, there's no way Canadians
He's Canadian. He's in the NBA.
No, I get that. Like, I get that we recruit around the world.
Andrew Wiggins.
I get that we recruit around the world. I'm saying Canada doesn't watch. No one else is tuning in.
I bet you they do. They were world champions not too long ago.
Canada was.
Toronto.
The Toronto Raptors.
Yes.
Okay, well, good they luck love on them. That one team.
Also, France. Big Vic, that 9-foot guy, he's from France.
I know, but there's not the French Raptors.
Yeah, but the international game is on. I'm telling you.
No, I believe that. Up. Like, I get that when we go to the Olympics now, competition has gotten better.
What I'm saying, Travis.
Yeah.
All these countries.
Yeah.
France, Canada.
Canada.
Anywhere.
Anywhere that
Spain,
speaks French.
Spain, the Gasols from Spain.
Oh, okay, Spain too.
All of these places, we have the leads in Africa. All these people want to come to Connecticut to play basketball because we're the basketball capital of the world. Even if they don't go to UConn, they want to come somewhere in this little small place in New England in the U.S.
No, I think that's fantastic.
Because we're the basketball capital of the world, allegedly.
Two things.
One, shout out to South Carolina, who won the women's championship. Dawn Staley, you're the best. Just wanted to say that out there, even though you're not from New England. You are rocking it.
One thing I saw a lot of this year, and I don't watch a lot of basketball or sports news, but I saw a lot of newscasters saying, we finally have to recognize that UConn is a good basketball program. And it, and the point they were making—
blue blood, right?
I think so. Is that what they're saying? Because they were saying there was old blood, like Duke, and they mentioned like some all-stars, right? And then they're like, but you have to accept that UConn is the new, right? New is the new. Terrence is showing me the video.
The new blood.
Terrence is showing me the video of the guy throwing the stop sign down. And yeah, good for them. Good for them.
Yeah, but there's—
wait, but there was another video. There was another video I saw. And this was the video of Bill Murray holding the UConn trophy and like playing around with it. And then his son comes and is like, no, 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 Dad, we don't play around with this trophy. And like very seriously takes it from him. And I was like, what is going on? Why does Bill Murray have the UConn trophy?
Right.
And then, so I texted you and I was like, what is going on? Why does Bill Murray have the UConn trophy? Do you want to tell the world?
I think Bill Murray's son works for the basketball team.
He's assistant coach.
He's one of the coaches. Okay, I knew it was that. I wasn't sure if he was a, you know, administration or something. But yeah, he has that association, which I didn't know until I started seeing Bill Murray at some of the games. He's sitting right beside me. I said, "What up, Bill?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Ghostbusters!" And I just
he loves that.
That part didn't happen, by the way. But, but for those of you tuning in who are interested, we are going to have Bill Murray on one of our next couple of podcasts. So tune in and tell your friends to join.
I mean, that is, there's no reason to not believe that.
Can I get in trouble for telling lies and have Bill have the anticipation on?
I wonder, would that be? As a friend to UConn, how difficult would it be? So do you have any access to the basketball coaching staff?
No, besides their emails, no.
You have their emails. So could you reach out and
they
say—
they don't read those emails.
They don't read those emails.
I'm 100% sure they don't read their emails.
I don't know.
And I'm pretty sure they get filtered out.
You're director level now, aren't you?
No, not really. Not that type of director.
They don't know that. Like, your title has director in it, right?
Kinda.
They're going to read your email.
No.
Okay, so now we have an in. Terrence is going to reach out to Bill Murray's son and say, we don't want you on the show. Hey.
Mr. Assistant Coach.
You're just an assistant coach.
Coach Murray.
When you become head coach, give us a call. Until then, what's your dad doing?
Right.
I think this is going to work. This is a solid plan.
Yep. And next podcast, I'll let you know whether we got him or not.
You know, honestly, if we could get the assistant coach on, we'd be really happy. So I feel like we need to clarify that. But with that said, we probably won't get— I do think we need to say that out loud. We probably won't get Bill Murray.
It is more likely than not Bill Murray is not coming. But notice I did use a double negative, which means that he could come.
That he could come.
Yeah.
With all that said, I think we can't get a neighbor to come on this show. It would be a very high ask to say, you know, we're going to get someone.
Neighbor Dave said he's coming, y'all. So I'm holding Neighbor Dave to that.
You know, we have had some great guests, though. We've had one of the world's premier data scientists.
Yes.
We had an infrastructure superstar. We had a pre-med student who has a voice that is so crisp, that is so professional. Who else have we had?
I want to— Felix said we all sounded crisp, by the way.
Yeah. But I'm very content to let these lie as inside jokes here.
He has a great voice, though.
Not
has a great voice. Making sure I put it in the past tense.
But no, we've had some really cool people.
I agree.
And we've had, you know, great ghost stories. We've had great people just talking about New England. I think our guests have been top notch. However, we don't regularly get them in, right? Like the commitments are soft commitments at best.
Touche.
Bill Murray's coming.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's not coming.
He's not coming. Okay. All right, Terrence, on our short show, what is the last topic for the day?
Last topic of the day is...
Besides your amazing socks. White socks.
They are quite dope.
Polka dots. Pink, green, mint, yellow.
Let me give a shout out to Zion, Lisa, and Antoine. I love y'all. I'm not going to talk about what y'all said about the podcast, me, or yourselves right now, because that's just embarrassing. But I just want to say I love y'all. And I'm going to send this to you all so that you can hear this at the very end. So we have to listen to this painfully boring podcast to the end to hear your shout out.
No self-deprecation. This is a fun. Of all of the podcasts that have spoken about sidewalks for 75% of their content, we are the best.
Touché.
I think definitively we get that category. So you're welcome, Antoine and the others. Who are the others? Antoine and company.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. I don't know them. I assume that these shout outs are sincere and earnest.
It'll be right up the alley for have Antoine on, because he actually has been here twice for my wedding and just to come visit one time. So Antoine, you're coming on the show. So, you know, we do lists here sometimes. So I'm going to talk about real quick, give shout outs to these 8 most charming places to visit in Connecticut. We're going to have some New England ones next time for those who want to come up here for the summer. But Travis is going to be going to Chester. Mm-hmm. It's a gem of the lovely lower Connecticut River. Then Travis is going to Kent. Mm-hmm. Then Travis is going to Madison.
Going to all these places.
Yes. Named for the founding father, James Madison, who founded it right after the natives had been here for thousands of years. Yep. But hey, shout out to you, founding father.
Maddie, good job.
Good job, Maddie.
Good job, Maddie.
Mystic, Old Saybrook.
I love Mystic and Old Saybrook. We could speak to those right now.
Putnam, where Travis says there's a 5-star restaurant at. Which I've never heard of.
Is Putnam on the list?
Putnam's on the list.
Okay, can we talk about that just like for 1 second?
1 second.
There is
And Travis is also going to Westport. So those are the places Travis is going to. And Simsbury. So Simsbury, Westport.
What is this list?
The 8 most charming towns in Connecticut that you're visiting this summer.
So we have almost moved to Simsbury.
I remember, but in the bear schedule away.
There are so many bears that just walk into people's houses. And one of my biggest fears is being eaten to death by a bear. So moving into a neighborhood.
That's a very strange fear, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, in Simsbury, they just come into your house, right? So that happens. I don't know if it has happened, but I don't want to wake up one morning and find a bear just rummaging through my CD collection.
But a little girl named started that first.
Started bear, Goldilocks?
Yeah, she broke into some bear's houses.
This is all retaliation from that?
Exactly. Humans always messing it up, then get mad with a bear come in their house and eat their food.
I feel like at this point, though, the retaliation is kind of weighed back on their side now. Like they went too far.
No. Why are we building houses in the woods? Those were their woods.
That was their woods.
Then we get mad when they come in and want a fish sandwich.
Was that the whole list?
That was the whole list.
Simsbury, I've been to several times.
Yes.
Mystic, but Putnam is the one I want to talk about, right? Because it was, first of all, that's really close to us. Second of all, they do have a phenomenal restaurant. I believe they have 2. Third of all, there is nothing else there. So for that to be considered one of the most charming towns, no disrespect, because I think it's intentional. I think they very much like the bucolic vibe. I think they very much like to be out in their quiet corner, right? Mm-hmm. So no disrespect. And the places that they do have are quite charming, but it's so small that I don't even know that I would call it a town. What they do have, though, is sidewalks. They have like this really nice church, and then they have sidewalks where you can walk around it, because I've been there several times because I take a lot of I do a lot of photography during the fall, and they have really beautiful, you know, fall landscapey shots there. That said, you like that restaurant is like maybe next to two other shops, and then there's like one. It doesn't matter. It's just very surprising that one made the list.
Not to me.
Except to you.
Yeah.
You get it.
But that's it. That's it. That's all I got.
How did stores not make it? I think we're charming.
I don't know. They tripping.
I love our town center. We have some actually really good live music that happens in our town center.
Actually, we do have that.
We have some cool community events. We get together, do a trunk or treat across the whole area. The students bring a really fantastic vibe here.
I'm going to email this publication and tell them why you're bugging.
Yeah, I think so. I think we have a cool town. I think as you get further and further into the neighborhoods, it gets quieter and quieter. But now that I know Putnam's on the list, I got to say, I think stores is better. I think stores is better. We Shout could out. Do better.
One up and on stores. I like it.
And also, I just noticed we got a comic book shop. And to me, that is like, you've now reached quintessential small town status once you officially get your comic book shop, which we've done. So I'm thinking that list needs to at least be 9, and stores needs to be on there.
We're creating our own list.
Okay. Let's do our own list now, Terrence. What do we care about that?
We're big time.
We really need to start that segment where you explain things.
Let's do it.
All right. Next time. I'm ready. We lead with that next show. We're here on WHUS Stores. I just wanted to say that because that might just be, we might be on a few, just a few more shows on this station. So this is we're getting to the end of maybe an era for this show, and we're looking at maybe moving on to a slightly bigger thing, but we're going to wrap up. I got the twirl from Terrence. So we'll get more into that next show. For Travis Poppleton
and Terrence, I don't do a swirl, Abney.
This is the Connecticut Show.
Peace and love.